Good morning. Good morning. Let me start this morning by telling you that God loves you and God has a plan for you. I think we need to be reminded of that probably daily, if not more often than that, that God does love us and God does have a plan for us, because sometimes we might feel that nobody loves us, and very often we might feel that I don't know what my plan might be. It doesn't matter what your plan is, God has a plan, and His plan's bigger than yours. We're here this morning in the reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and I always like to say we have to remember where these writings come from, who they were written to, and who they were being authored by. That's so important to us understanding the message that's being given. And so when we hear from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we're dealing with the children of Israel who are in bondage. They aren't feeling very loved. They aren't feeling like God has a plan for them. That plan got spoiled when they got taken into captivity. But we hear the prophet speaking to the people. Thus says the Lord, observe what is right and do what is just, for my salvation is about to come. My justice is about to be revealed. I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like we hear these words about this imminent coming of the Lord, and it seems yet so far away. I mean, it's been written for thousands of years, this imminent coming of the Lord, and when is it going to happen? I mean, I want it yesterday. I don't want it today. Today's too late. I wanted it yesterday. It's not ours to choose the when, it's ours to be ready. It's ours to do what the Lord has called us to do. It's ours to do right, to do justice, and to be ready when that moment, when that time comes, because it's not of our choosing, it's of His choosing. And sometimes, as we see played out sometimes in the Scriptures, God waits a little while so the right thing comes to pass. If Jesus hadn't waited to go to the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus wouldn't have been risen from the dead. And maybe if I'm Mary and I'm Martha going, well, that's right, but he wouldn't have had to die and he would have been healed. And wouldn't that have been good enough? No, because Jesus needed to raise him from the dead. There was a need for something bigger to happen. Sometimes we need to get to the plan of God. God's plan doesn't need to get to us. A lot of times I'm talking to, in catechism classes or even sometimes in seminary, I talk about how God's view is at that 10,000 foot view. He sees our beginning and our end all at the same time, and we send up a prayer and He goes, I got it. And He drops down the answer, but when the answer lands, it's a little further down our timeline, because we're not standing at 1,000 feet, we're standing at ground zero. And we've got to get along that timeline of our life to get to the answer that God dropped down there for us. Does that mean that God answered too late? No, God answered the moment we asked it. We've just got to get to the answer. And so, as God's talking to the children of Israel, He's trying to encourage them, the answer is just ahead. There's good things coming. I'll be there soon. Now, we know, because we get to read the rest of the book, we know that the children of Israel did get free from their bondage in Babylon. And not only that, but God impressed upon the heart of the Babylonians to rebuild the temple. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good plan. Probably wasn't the plan that the Israelites had. Their plan was just set us free. We'll wander back home. We'll build the bricks. God had a bigger plan. God had something more exciting at hand in that plan. We hear our second reading this morning, St. Paul encouraging us. Now, I love it. I love this passage for a lot of reasons, but I love this passage because we really get some insight into Paul. Paul is a Jew's Jew. I mean, he bought it hook, line, and sinker. He was a Pharisee. He believed in all the rules, all the regulations. He believed in enforcing the rules and regulations. I brought him in the homily last week. He believed it so much that he was the one sitting around holding the cloaks of the people who stoned the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He bought into every bit of it. And yet, he says, I've been called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. I don't even get to work with the people I want to work with. I don't even get to go and, I mean, I want to help save my people, the Jewish people. But no. God sends me elsewhere. God sends me to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Then we get this little back door for me. It's a little back door thing that happens. And Paul says, so you're getting lucky because my people rejected God. Thank God I'm lucky. And Paul says his hope is that in the Gentiles, in you and I, getting that benefit that was passed on to us because the Jews rejected Jesus, that some of his own might also come to believe might also come to be saved. See, Paul's vision broadened because he waited. He was patient on God. Now, I'm not saying his patience came easy. I mean, God had to slow him down. He was on his way to kill some more Christians when God found him on the road and knocked him down blind. You need a little godly help to slow him down. And maybe some of us need some godly help. I know I do. I need some godly help to slow down because I like to run at 1,000 miles an hour. Valerie's known for telling me to slow down. It's time to rest. You're gonna burn up. I don't see that warning light come on. Or maybe I just ignore it. I'm not sure which one it is. But Paul slowed down, and what came from him slowing down was a bigger vision, and that bigger vision was for Paul to go and travel the known world into all these different places where those who weren't like him, those who weren't born into the covenant of Abraham, might be preached to and saved, that they too might come to know Jesus Christ as Paul himself had come to know Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is, to share the faith. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it necessarily or not, we are all called to that same mindset. We're called to disciple others. We're called to want to go out and share what we have received, not because it empties us, but because we can't be emptied and other people can join in. Unless they know the truth, they can't live in the truth. They might need you to help them know the truth. And I don't believe in doing it by beating them in the head with a Bible. It's really hard to, that osmosis thing doesn't work very well that way. But sometimes sharing your life story with them can be transformative. And people can come to believe. And there's a transformative story we hear in the gospel this morning that I think is very powerful for us. Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's ministering. And where is his ministry almost always focused? It's among the Jewish people. And he's there and he's ministering among the Jewish people, and a woman comes to him and says, my child is ill and needs to be healed. Can you come and help? And Jesus kind of brushes her off. And I have a feeling that if you and I were there, we'd be going, well, that was kind of rude, because we didn't understand his plan. He wasn't being rude for the sake of being rude. He was being maybe dismissive for the sake of a better ending to the story, because he knew what could come of this. And he goes back to what he's doing, and the woman is persistent. If you want to know something, God likes our persistence. If every time we start to get an itch and we say, Lord, could you scratch, and he scratches right away, he just becomes a tool we use. God doesn't want to be our tool. God wants to be our Father. He wants us to come to him in all things, in all times, in all places. He wants us to be there always. And so the woman gets persistent, and she comes back and she says, maybe you didn't understand the first time. My daughter's ill, needs some help. You're the one that can help her. Come on, I need your help. And Jesus is almost insulting here. Now, we have to understand the language and the time and the culture. You have Jews and you have Gentiles, and their paths don't tend to mingle and cross. Okay? I mean, they might cross in the marketplace because there's a selling and buying of goods or something like that, but they definitely don't cross in intimate settings. And so Jesus says to her, it's not right for me to take the food that belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. Now, in our modern English, our modern culture, we look at it and go, that was a slap in the face. And maybe we're the ones who need to get the slap in the face. Maybe this is that wake-up call in this story to, hey, pay attention. Something's about to happen. But the woman has a great response. She doesn't take this as this great slap in the face. She has a great response, and she says, but Lord, notice she doesn't say, hey, jerk. Notice she doesn't fight fire with fire. She's more patient than I am. Lord, even the dogs, I'll accept your, you've given me a name, I'll accept it. Even the dogs are allowed to feed from the scraps that fall from the table. Now, some people might read that story and go, yes, she got his attention. She didn't get his attention. She got the room's attention. Maybe she got our attention. Because this was the perfect response. She knew that what she was asking for wasn't something that she was due. She knew she didn't deserve for this Messiah to come and to heal her child. Yet her child was hurting, and she was, as a mama, she was going to do whatever it took to take care of that child. That's what mamas do. And she was desperate. And in her desperation, she was persistent. Even the dogs can feed from the scraps of the table. I love the response of Jesus here, because it's the same response we hear from Jesus over and over and over again throughout the gospel tellings and the stories, where he says, your faith. Wait a minute. She's not a believer. She's not a temple dweller. She's not a Jew. She's someone else. Your faith is mighty. Your faith has made your daughter heal. And it says in Scripture that the daughter was healed. The resolve of the story is very similar to one that I also am closely connected to for several reasons. I love the story, but I've also been to a chapel in Israel that is devoted to the woman who touched the hem of the garment. Those of you who have been to Israel with me, we go into that chapel, and we actually got to say Mass in that chapel, didn't we? This last time. But I love that story, because here's this woman who is doing everything against the rules. She's not supposed to be out in public. She's bleeding. That's unclean. Not supposed to be out there in public. She's supposed to be staying at home, dealing with whatever's causing this problem. But she's desperate, and she's persistent. Persistent enough that she believes if she can just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, that she can be healed. And she touches his hem, and he notices it, he recognizes it. I've seen a lot of different quasi-explanations of how he knew. I think he knew because he knew she was coming. He knew everything. It wasn't just the power leaving his body. He knew. He's God. He loved her, and he had a plan for her. And she touches his garment, and he says, woman, your faith has made you... How did you know she had faith? Because it took faith to do what she did. How did you know that this mother in the gospel reading today had faith? Because I know he's God, and he just knows. But it took faith to do what she did. It took faith for her to stand up to a teacher. It took faith for her to cry out to him and believe that he had the answer to her problem. It took faith to be persistent when she had been rejected. The question that comes to us this morning in these scriptures is, where is our faith? I'm not saying we're lacking it. I'm asking a question that we have to ask for ourselves. Where is our faith? Is our faith willing to be persistent with God? Is our faith sometimes willing to be desperate with God? Is our faith that thing that I will not quit believing? Some of you have been going through Job. We've been working our way through Job. Job is a little bit of a work to get through. Job's an amazing story. I can't give you all of it because some of us are studying it right now. Right? We haven't got to the end yet. I can't give the conclusion. It's in Cliff Notes. But Job held true to his faith. Through all that he was going through all the discouragement of his friends, through all the being put down in the situation, through all the tragedy of having his life, he still had faith that God was mighty and God would believe in him if he could just have a conversation with God. He could get this thing worked out. We need to have faith like Job. We need to have faith like the woman who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. We need to have faith like the mother of the child in today's gospel reading. Because whether we like it or not, we find ourselves as part of the people called Gentiles. Yet God calls us to an intimate relationship with himself by faith. That if we will come to him and we will believe in him and we will put our faith, our trust, our hope in him, that his plan will be made right in our lives. I don't know what God's plan is for your life. I'm still trying to figure out his plan in my life. Trust me on that one, okay? Some of you may go, well, it's kind of obvious what his plan is. I don't know. I know what his plan is up to this point. I don't know what his plan starting tomorrow is. If you just fill me in a couple days in advance. But I promise you this. He has a plan for you. And if you will be faithful and you will persevere, maybe even to the point, in some cases, of desperation, His plan will be made right and true in your life. And you will get to that place where you will look up and go, ah, this is what it was about. I needed to go through some of those things I didn't like going through. I needed to experience some of those experiences I didn't like experiencing. I needed to feel potentially rejected in a moment so I could fully be accepted in another moment. I needed to have faith. God loves you. He has a plan for you. And He calls each and every one of us into the intimacy of relationship with Him so that His plan can be made whole in our lives. Amen.